Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Stressful is it for the firefighters in California, Washington, and Oregon, and back to school and worried about the pandemic and a slew of other things? I'm going to go out on a limb and give you some unofficial news. I think this is the most stressed out the people in my world have ever been. And maybe around you, you're finding the very same thing. Seriously, it is so bad for people. By the way, Kate Delaney, thanks for dancing with us. I hate to open on this sour note, but just to let you know what has happened because of the stress that so many people are under. And sadly, the economic stress is just awful, and meaning that at least 50% of the households, is the statistic that I read from Harvard, are finding themselves not being able to pay credit card bills, everything else from medical bills to things in between. But the stress is so bad for so many different reasons that it's also led to people losing teeth, chipping teeth. Dentists are saying that the reason people are coming in, because they don't really want to come in, is that their oral health is so bad because of the stress, and it's wrecking people's mouths. So normally where you might be a little bit healthier, you're grinding teeth and you don't even know you're doing it. There's more TMJ, all that kind of stuff. So just another thing to add to what's been a glorious 2020 for so many people. Remember, I always say reimagine, reboot, and just rethink about some of the things that you're doing. Certainly, you can't help lightning strikes and the apocalyptic situation that we're seeing in San Francisco and other big cities in California and in Oregon and in Washington, like I mentioned. The fires with the lightning strikes, the crazy amount of lightning strikes, and then some other things that happened to add to that has made it so difficult where there's 4,000 firefighters plus traipsing around and working as many hours as possible to try to do what they can to save lives first, homes, and acreage. More than 2.2 million acres have burned so far in California. It's on fire from the tip of California, the very northern parts of California, all the way back to down through the southern parts of California. And those winds are just crushers. The Santa Ana winds, the Diablo winds in the north, the dry temperatures, it's making it difficult because you see the shift on the fire lines and you can only do so much. The great news is more than 400 people plus have been rescued from situations that were dire. And when I say dire, they're just surrounded by a wall of fire. And they're in a campground, and they're running out, you know, fleeing from their tent, doing whatever they can to get away. But you can't outrun the fire and when there's no place to go. You can't jump in the car when there's no road to get to. And we saw that happen tragically up in Northern California a couple of years ago when people were trying to escape. So the flames are just hellish. The words to describe this, devastating, unprecedented, awful. Fresno, Big Sur, I mean, name a place, Medford, Oregon, and so many are fighting this. The good news is the loss of life so far is minimal. Any is too many. There was in Oregon a couple of deaths, a 13-year-old boy and his 71-year-old grandmother. The boy's mother survived the fire but is in critical condition, and so that's an awful, awful situation. While that's going on, and it's, again, orange skies, smoke in the west, and just billows and billows of smoke. I mean, if you lived in the San Francisco Bay Area, there's like 90 major fires that have burned an area of land about the size of Connecticut is the best way to describe it. That's what I heard today. Someone described it that way, and I thought, wow, they painted that picture, because that's exactly what it's like. They were saying even at 9 and 10 in the morning, you couldn't even see the sun. So the Golden Gate Patrol Division was telling drivers, turn on your lights and slow down, because you can't even see. That's what we're seeing, these nightmarish conditions, and that's it. So if you're going across the bridge, be careful. It's just that bad. In Oregon, 35 active wildfires. So that's all happening. And in the meantime, what's going on with COVID-19? Some schools are reopening, or they're having kind of hybrid learning. Others, kids are at corners in their house and searching for internet and doing the Zoom thing. But 191,000 people officially have died of COVID-19. There's arguments about what that percentage is. That's like the newest, latest conspiracy theory out there. Or some think it's believable and that the numbers are inflated, and others think that they're deflated. Typical, right? So we can't agree on a number, no matter what institute it comes from. Cases, 6.38 million. In the world, 898,000 deaths. Total cases, 27.6 million. The good news is that, I used this word the other day, there has been a leveling off, in a sense, in some areas. People are social distancing. They're paying attention to the signs that are around them. They're wearing the masks when they go in certain areas. And here's something. Even if you're the mask wearer, like you wear the mask, you know about the mask, you do it, you care about passing it on to other people or whatever, we are so, I think, weary of it, or sometimes forget. You know, we forget that do you find yourself where, yeah, I'll throw on the mask before I go into XYZ store, but then you realize you don't have the mask? Oh, yeah. I'll admit, it happened to me today. I was going to the bank, and I hit the door, and I realized, oh, everyone has a mask on. They certainly aren't robbers. I have made a mistake. I left my mask in the car, so I wasn't near anyone. Ran back, grabbed it, flipped it on, boom. Got in line. It was just that easy. All right, stay with us. On the flip side, much more coming your way.
The battle of late stage or terminal illness is a fight that affects everything and everyone in your life. If you or a loved one are dealing with advanced stage conditions that are causing financial hardship, like stage 3 or stage 4 cancer, Alzheimer's, COPD, or ALS, then this message is for you. Our Funds for Living program make it a simple 3-step process. Text the word LIVE to 411-411 or visit fifthseasonfinancial.com/radio and we'll send you a link to get started. Choose the amount of money you need. Apply in seconds. That's it. And you're under no obligation. Fifth Season will advance a portion of your life insurance policy and take over your premium payments so you can provide immediate financial relief to the ones you love, all without any out-of-pocket expenses. Fifth Season Financial wants to help you live your best life. Text LIVE to 411-411. Text the word LIVE to 411-411.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Kate Delaney, appreciate you hanging here on the show with me. You can always send me your thoughts 24/7, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. A quick reminder that we do that Nail the Score thing on our Wednesday into Thursday show, depending on your time zone. But it is in the first hour of the show. So if you're catching me live, jump on board. You could win some fabulous prizes. Why not? You get to brag about it. And we do that at the 45 mark in our first hour. Don't worry, I'll tell you all about it next week. We already did our first one. We'll see if we have a winner. Sharon wanted to make sure, she was desperately messaging me to tell me that she picked the Bucks because our game was the Bucks and New Orleans. And how about that? So New Orleans was the Saints. That was what most people picked, even in the emails that I got. The trials of the vaccine for COVID-19, in looking at AstraZeneca and their pause because of side effects that somebody got, and not giving a lot of details about it. And I mentioned that this is normal procedure. This is what you, of course, this is what you do. I think for so many of us, because we initially in March, you know, in March this happens, and everybody starts to hear about it. Well, there'll be a wave. We kept talking about waves. There's going to be this first wave, and if we could just, you know, get through this first wave, and we can flatten the curve. If we can just flatten the curve, then we can get to where we need to be. And then will there be a second wave? And then maybe, you know, the summertime's pretty good, and then we get to the second wave, and we see, you know, what happens there, and we can probably get through that. Yeah, crazy, isn't it? It is. It's crazy. And many of you know I've been talking to people around the country. We've had a lot of international authors on. In fact, coming up, we have K.V. Patel from the U.K. This guy wrote a fascinating book. I'm serious. I was glued to it. The Foundation Pillars for Change, Our Nation, Our Democracy, and Our Future. And I'm going to give you a little sneak peek on one of the pillars, a very important one here in just a few minutes. We've been talking to lots of Australians about what's happening in Australia. In fact, we've got one on the line with us now for a few minutes, our old pal Jack Alexander. Hey, Jack, what's happening?
How you doing, Kate? Oh, man, it is an absolute nightmare here.
Tell us, paint the picture for us.
Paint the picture. Well, I'm in the state of Victoria. We are in total lockdown. It is a crime that will get you cited a $2,000 fine if you get caught more than 3 miles from your registered address. I've had, two slight run-ins with law enforcement. The first time I got pulled over for not wearing a face mask while driving a motor vehicle alone.
Now, wow,
I'm at
really?
An age where I need to wear corrective lenses to drive. If yeah. I wear a face mask, it fogs up the glasses. He was happy to try and write me a ticket up until the point I wanted to videotape him.
And then he stopped.
Then all of a sudden it stopped, because then he would have had to justify on camera why it was more important to write a citation and fine me $2,000 than me to be able to operate a motor vehicle safely. Just the other night, a few minutes before curfew, because we have an 8 p.m. curfew here, you get caught after that, you're arrested, you go to jail. And they're standing there at the local McDonald's, which is half a mile away from my house, taking down registration numbers.
Wow.
There are police and military checkpoints all over the state.
Wow.
And what are people's... independent are getting arrested for covering what's going on here in Victoria.
Even
more famous than I am, conservative independent journalist and YouTube content creator, was arrested doing his job of being a journalist covering an anti-lockdown rally last weekend. The mainstream
wow.
media, who are all in lockstep with the government, were unmolested. Now we've had the police commissioner come out and say, if you record an arrest and you post it on social media, you will be arrested if we find you. If you comment about it, you will be arrested. If you share somebody else's video, you will be arrested. Now, you know me, I'm a troublemaker and a muckraker with the way I do my show.
Sure.
I've always endeavored to expose the truth of what's going on, and I am now in fear of being arrested. We've had
wow,
YouTube,
Jack. Wow.
We've had Facebook people just had police turn up on their door. There's the famous case just on 2 weeks ago of a pregnant woman in country Victoria who had three detectives turn up at her door and arrest her in front of her two preschool-age children because she posted on Facebook. Another former soldier from across the other side of Melbourne had a SWAT team crash through his door because he posted about what's going on Facebook.
Shocking.
This is not
is
the
shocking.
Country I spent 10 yeah. years in uniform and swore to uphold and protect.
Are other people just, I mean, obviously people are talking, people in Victoria, they, and you said it, that it's such a lockdown and things are happening to people and trying to really press that lid down. How are people for the most part, feeling about. They have to be furious.
Yeah, they are. But the Premier, Daniel Andrews, a Premier in the system here is the same as the state governor.
Wow.
Just managed to get himself extra powers for another 6 months, and in that vote, they suspended the opposition's ability to pose questions in Parliament.
Wow. Wow. Wow, Jack.
It's gotten to the point, Kate, where I had put out a video, and I sent you the links to it and so on, that I am actively trying to get asylum to get out of here.
Wow.
I've put out letters to and made contact with the U.S. consulate here to try and help me and
to
my
get
family
out. Yeah.
Get out of the country.
Yeah.
That is how bad it has gotten. But unfortunately,
wow.
The consulate is just is sticking to the line at the moment that unless they get instructions from the higher paychecks in D.C., they're sticking to the official line that anyone that's applying for asylum has to do it physically being in the United States.
Wow, Jack, that is an unbelievable turn of events there. We knew that there were things happening, and I've been talking about it, but I didn't realize just how awful it is. Be safe, my friend, and keep us abreast of what's going on. Hey, coming up next, we're going to the UK to talk to KV Patel. He's got his pillars, and these pillars are incredible. It's the foundation of the book, and he calls it the Foundation Pillars for Change. He talks about what's the most important asset, and he talks about education, and he talks about other things that you wrap into it. And here's a great setup for some of these pillars.
The most important asset of any nation are its citizens, all of its citizens. And the most important thing the leadership of a nation can provide its citizens, on top of good governance, is the best available education. Those two things coupled will help accelerate the delivery of all of the other foundation pillars. It'll improve the health of the citizens and its healthcare delivery. It'll improve law and order, national security, and all of the components of infrastructure. And those are reduced energy usage, more efficient energy, improved agriculture, use of water, looking after the environment in terms of flora and fauna, transportation, etc., etc. And so therefore that helps the benefit of all of its citizens and the nation as a whole.
Yeah, and we go deeper into this and obviously talk about the other pillars. As he said, the most important asset, I thought that was important to hear, is the citizens, the education, and the good governance. If you look at education especially, he is so right on that. And I think when you read the book, you really get a sense of what's missing, not just in India, but in some other areas as well. And it's like loaded with these quotes that I love that he put all throughout his book. But anyway, enjoy this interview. You will learn from KV Patel next here on the show.
With a Mech-Tech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, Mech-Tech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that Mech-Tech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Excerpts of a new book about President Trump were printed in the Washington Post. The article said that the president intentionally downplayed the pandemic and lied about its severity initially.
the president, who knew he was being recorded by Bob Woodward, said he knew the virus was very serious, but in public he laughed it off.
It goes through air, Bob.
Woodward recorded 9 hours of interviews with the president for his new book, Rage. On February 7th, the president told Woodward that COVID-19 was airborne and much more deadly than the flu.
This is deadly stuff.
But then later in public, he said the coronavirus was like the flu.
Wash your hands. Stay clean.
He told Woodward on March 19th,
I wanted to always play it down.
Reporters questioned the president on why he didn't come clean. He said,
the last thing we can show is panic.
This is USA Radio News. Oregon Governor Kate Brown has a warning as several large wildfires tear through the state. She says 5 cities were lost to the blazes.
This could be the greatest loss of human lives and property due to wildfire in our state's history.
She says the situation looks bleak because of the windy weather.
Early reports indicate that the towns of Detroit in Central Oregon, Blue River and Vida in Lane County, and Phoenix and Talent in Southern Oregon are substantially destroyed.
Brown says for the first time ever, she's invoked the Fire Conflagration Act for the entire state. That gives the state's fire marshal the ability to direct resources wherever they're needed.
Washington State had its first reported fatality from a fire, and we're also learning that a 12-year-old boy and his grandmother were killed in a wildfire in northern Oregon. Near Portland, more than half of Clackamas County is under a level 3 evacuation.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REAL-WTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
How long I've been waiting to have this conversation. I got his book, gosh, I think it's been about over a week ago, and I was already looking at the cliff notes, and he told me he was going to send it to me. So instead of me going and getting it, which all of you are going to do, he sent it to me, and I was so excited to go to my post office and get it. And Kiran Patel is with us. He's in our virtual green room, and he joins us from the UK. And his book is called The Foundation Pillars for Change, Our Nation, Our Democracy, and Our Future. And this book is such an eye-opener. There's so much to be learned about India and so much that can be applied to where you may be listening to me now if it's not India. So, Kiran, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Kate, for your kind invitation to talk to you. It's very much appreciated.
So let's give some background and some context about the book. We're going to talk about why you wrote it and go deeper into this, but talk to us about India. Kind of set this up for us that what's happening with India?
If you look at, for your American and global audience, if I give a context of India first, it's a single country. Its population is just under 1.4 billion people. That's 1 in 6 of the global population. It's a country made up of 28 states and 8 territories. So there's sort of 36 regions, you could call, each with their own language, their dialects, identities, cultures, and norms. To give you an idea, the Indian banknote itself has 15 distinct languages printed on it. So you, wow. That gives you a scope of the country. If we look at the U.S. with a population of about 330 million, we add Canada and Mexico, we get to about 500 million. If we add the whole of South America, which is another 430, and then Central America and all of the Caribbean countries, we get to about a billion population with 41 countries. Then if we look at the Eurozone, which is the largest trading bloc in the world, made up of 340 million people across 19 countries, India is still larger than that. So India is effectively the whole of the Eurozone, and every individual in the continent from Alaska, the top of Alaska, to the bottom of Argentina in Ushuaia. And that number of people, think about it, living in a third of the space of mainland USA. So everyone crammed into the space between, let's say, Los Angeles and Kansas. So that gives you a context of the country and the size. And having to run that as a prime minister and a parliament in a democratically elected parliament, now that's the challenge, and that's where we get to our nation, our democracy, and our future, and to run that and make changes to that happen.
So thanks for that, because you get the you really get the perspective of how big of an area that we're talking about. Yeah. And what did you say about what really stood out, and I guarantee this is going to jump out at other people, and I didn't even think of this in looking at money. How many different languages?
Yeah, 15 distinct languages on the banknote itself.
Wow.
Printed on the banknote. So, and there are many more, but those are the major ones actually on the banknote when you see
wow.
the banknote.
Incredible. So yeah. Why write this book? What drove you to write the book?
It's a good question. Between 2007, 2008, that's prior to the financial crisis, I had the opportunity to meet Narendra Bhai Modi three times when he was chief minister of the state of Gujarat. Gujarat is a state just north in western India, just north of Mumbai. And I was extremely impressed by his approach to government, the development of the state, the governance, the way he ran it, focus on the citizens and business. He had a clear vision and a structured approach, and he had delivered significant change across the state for over a number of years. And that was the start of my engagement with the reason for writing the book. And then, however, following years, between around 2009 and 12, in my many visits and to India and reading, I felt despair, frustration, anger, disappointment, and even embarrassment from what I was seeing happening across India. There was rampant, unchecked corruption, nepotism. You saw cronyism and patronage, and even sycophantic behaviors. There was hereditary privilege in politics and a widening gap between the haves and the have-nots, the poor and the very wealthy. And the wider the gap, the wider the disenchantment. And you would also there was overt criminalization of the political body, a triarchy between administrators, lawmakers, and commercial interests, and not to the benefit of the citizens. You would have also heard about the rapes and violence against women and other weaker sections of our society. So I think there was a younger educated citizens, the newer voters, and civil society that were crying out for change. And as you know, Kate, I've been fortunate to travel across a number of our populated continents. So I built a rapport with a number of people about what works in their country, what doesn't, what were the positives and what were the negatives, and how has change happened in their nations over time. And so reading about that, talking to people across the world, I began to get a lot of information and data points, and I developed a framework, as you may say, in my mind of sort of how to make change happen, learning from those other countries, what sort of changes to make happen for the benefit of all of the citizens and to make that change happen. So that's where the book actually came about.
Yeah, it's so brilliant, like you, as you said, because you had traveled to so many areas and then seeing what you saw and getting disenfranchised with it. I think there's so much that people listening to this can learn no matter where they are. And again, the book is The Foundation, Pillars for Change, Our Nation, Our Democracy, and Our Future. We're talking to Kiran Patel, and if you go to look the book up on Amazon, K.V. Patel, you'll find it under that, of course, in the name that I just mentioned. So let's talk about what does Indian voter turnout look like, and what about the recent elections, too?
Yeah, what you would notice is that, as in all nations that run on a democratic basis, they're seeking, well, they should be seeking higher voter turnout. And therefore it is our right, our legal right to vote. What we found, or what I found in India is in the 2009 election, the 15th general election, the turnout was around 57% of the electorate, and that's pretty high. The other challenge that your audience need to know is that because of such a large country with such a large population, our election takes over a month sometimes from the start of an election to getting the actual results, and it's in seven stages. So it's in stages. It's highly electronic and quite robust, but it is a big event. So we had 57% turnout. In the 2014 election, which was my need for focus for the book, which is to increase the participation, there was a 66.5% participation. That's an increase of 17% in the participation of the electorate. And that was 555 million voters of nearly 835 million electorate. So that's an impressive result. And the most recent in 2019, Kate, they increased by a further percentage to 67.5%. The other benefit, depending on the data that you read, that broadly the electorate was around 50-50 male and female, and that is a positive, and also an increase in the number of female candidates, which is also a positive for the nation. I think the voter frustration and citizens seeking change, I think, increased the voter participation. I don't think it's my book that did it, albeit I'd like to think it is their frustration that made that increase. And I think, again, for the context of your audience, the UK elections are generally around the mid-60s. Sorry, not mid-60s, around 60, yeah mid-60s. And your elections are coming up in a few days' time. And in the US, what you've seen is a general reduction, a sad reduction from around 58% in 2009 down to 57.5% in 2012 to about, you know, just under 56% more recently in 2016, which was a 20-year low. So I think you're probably getting more engagement, hopefully, this time around in your 2020 elections.
I like how you said that hopefully we're seeing an increase in that for the people who are listening. Listen to what Kiran is saying. All right, you can stay with us, right, because we're going to take a break and we want to come back and continue this conversation. And I want to tell everyone again a reminder, the name of the book, The Foundation, Pillars for Change, Our Nation, Our Democracy, and Our Future, K.V. Patel, that's what you'll find it under. And we'll be back in a minute with more of this conversation.
supertea.com. Pouty Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the coming chaos after the November elections, this will be an extremely important message. Here's why. No matter what the outcome in November, catastrophic social upheaval is a very real possibility. Here's why this is important. Listen, we all know that silver and gold have been historic hedges against the uncertain waves of social chaos and unstable currencies. But did you know that there's been times in the past, during times of extreme hardship, when Americans put another store of value above even silver and gold? It's true, open pollinated seeds have been and could very well be the ultimate store of value in the coming hard times ahead. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com to get heirloom seeds below wholesale. Visit SurvivalSeedBank.com this week and get hundreds of dollars in free bonuses. Beat the coming chaos, beat rising food prices, but above all, don't wait. Beat the crowds by claiming your own Survival Seed Bank today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
So as we continue with our friend across the pond, and not across the pond for some of you listening there, however, in the UK, we go back to Kiran Patel and his book, The Foundation Pillars for Change, Our Nation, Our Democracy, and Our Future. And, you know, you were talking about the elections and the, statistically what happened and how India saw an increase. And it's interesting in comparing countries. If you look at the United States, the decrease that you're seeing in the United States, although people say they're frustrated with the politics of the day, et cetera. So it brings up the question of the applicability of this book to other areas and talk about that.
Thank you very much. Albeit I use India as a case study in the book, I think over 70% of it is applicable to all nations and all citizens, all voters. I think up to 10 to 20% is applicable to India. The readers can judge for themselves. If we look at the six foundation pillars, I don't think there's any controversy. The importance: governance, education, healthcare, law and order, national security, and infrastructure. Those are really the key components of any nation, and the focus is varied depending on where a nation is in its cycle. In the book, at the end of each chapter, each foundation pillar, I provide the reader with a list of suggestions for priorities and options for the citizens to consider. the reader, the citizen, can cross out any should they feel that they don't like it or it's not appropriate for them or their country. But I've also left blanks and blank lines where they can actually fill in what they think that they would want or what they think their country would want as their own priorities for their own countries. And therefore, not only to vote and to make that happen, but to participate in making it happen. So you get an active citizen that is a voter, but also a participant to change for making whatever they wish to happen in their country. So I think it's applicable not only to India and applicable to all nations. It's more of a discussion document.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you left that spot there because, again, that makes your mind open up to, okay, well, what does this mean for me? I'm looking at this, and how can I look at this maybe even differently because you've opened our eyes to things that we should be looking at when we're getting closer to an election. So when you do a book like this and you do research and you pull it together, I always think there's some nugget, there's some surprise that comes out of this. For you, what was the most surprising information you came across?
That's a very, very good question, Kate, and a difficult one to answer. But if I may have the liberty to highlight not just one, but maybe a few from each of the six foundation pillars that I found shocking, surprising, and news to me. If we take governance, I think it was frustration that I felt from the time writing the book in 2012 to 14 to now, 2019. It's 233 out of the two of the 539 parliamentarians in India. That's nearly 50% of the parliamentarians having criminal cases against them or having a criminal record. That I found was frustrating. And some of these are very serious accusations. And that turns lawmaking into law breaking. And the average age of the parliamentarian, albeit it's improved from average around 63 to 55, which is an improvement. However, there are still those that are under 30 that are hereditary, and many even super hereditary and related. So it's families, multiple generations of lawmakers, making this much more of a family affair and a career choice. It is not representative of the population, where India is a young country and parliament is not. So that was my major shock out of governance, amongst other things. In education, it was the potential, which is what we see in India from our use of technology and the growth in India. But the vast challenge that we have and the opportunity to improve learning delivery and the consistency of quality across the whole education pyramid, from primary teaching to postgraduate and primary research, it's the need for change, the what we learn to how we learn it. And I think COVID-19 and this pandemic has increased the use of technology, and I think that will help improve the quality and learning delivery to all parts of the country. And as you may know, Kate, many studies have shown that if you give a laptop and access to the internet, children can achieve wondrous results. In law and order, I found what disappointing was that legal cases can take multi-year or even in a few cases multi-decade to wait to see court justice. So what we need really is a step change in the speed of the quality of the delivery of justice and the applicability of law and order. The system is overburdened, bureaucratic, short-staffed. We need simple laws that are effectively implemented and applied to all citizens equally, especially the wealthy and the corrupt. And my final one is really a shocking one, which is that in defense, India loses one soldier, the life of one soldier, every 3 days on average, trying to protect the nation. It's a statistic that I found staggering. India lives in a relatively dangerous and unstable neighborhood. Despite having the fourth largest armed forces and the ninth largest high spend, and what has recently happened on our Indian border, and what is regularly happening on our western border, where there is an urgency to make changes across all branches of our military. We need to significantly accelerate the need of equipment purchases and redesign our forces to make them fit for the 21st century warfare. There's an increase in need for self-development and made in India, for land, sea, air, and space technologies, and for us to use those in a seamless fashion to ensure that we're maintaining our back garden, as you may wish, in the condition we wish to live it in, though we can't dictate our neighborhood.
Absolutely. I love the way that you put that. Definitely. Boy, you've given us a lot to think about, and we have 3.5 minutes or so left, and there's so many, I could talk to you all day long and all night long. So interesting, this book. I've just absorbed it. Just to let everyone know, pick it up, The Foundations for Change, the Foundation Pillars for Change, Our Nation, Our Democracy, and Our Future. And it's K.V. Patel. That's how you'll find it. But let's jump to, what do you hope the impact is for people reading the book? What do you hope they take away from this?
I think what I've recorded in the book was, I used 160 references at the end of the book. In reality, there were over 630 authors, journalists, analysts, investigators on whose shoulders I've climbed on to write this book. They're actually all listed on the website, www.foundationpillars.in. And what I've done is purely to combine their hard work into a single book. But what I think I've brought is both structure and direction. So identifying and populating the 6 foundation pillars for change for any nation, but to give it content for the direction, what needs to be done in each of the 6 and what do we, and how to do it to bring sustainable change happen for the benefit of all citizens, those that vote and those that will be voting, for the benefit of their country as a whole. So that's what I'm hoping for, engagement of citizens.
Absolutely, and I think you would be very engaged when you read this. And I had to give you this question that you said, interestingly enough to me, is a little bit of a curveball off the air, because what's so brilliant is the way that Kieran has laid out this book is he has quotes throughout it, and it's on the side, and it kind of catches your eyes, and it's all kinds of incredibly interesting people from different walks of life. What's your favorite quote that you pulled together for the book?
Kate, this was the most difficult question that I've had to get around to. I found quotes an excellent way to communicate a message, learning from history and individuals' experiences, so we don't have to make the same mistakes or to avoid making similar mistakes. So why relearn? I think the most appropriate quote for this time is the philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche from the late 19th century. So this quote is well over 150, 170 years old, but it is still appropriate for this time. It is, "The surest way to corrupt a youth is to instruct him to hold in higher esteem those who think alike than those who think differently." And for a quote that's 150 odd years old, I think it is so appropriate for this time at the moment.
Kieran Patel, that is a perfect place to end this. So I think it was fortuitous that you picked that quote. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much, Kate, for taking the opportunity to talk to me about a subject that I'm deeply passionate about. It's been a pleasure to talk to you and share with you and your audience.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop.
and cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.